Hello, Red Wave.
Welcome to Beware of Bulldogs. This is a show where we talk all things Fresno State athletics. Doing that with me, as always, is my good friend, Caleb Pletz. By the way, my name's Caleb as well. Keep it easy for you. Caleb Pletz, how you doing, man? Couple weeks into fatherhood, still going strong?
Yeah, things are going pretty well. You know, we've got a lot of help. We do want to thank Caleb and his wife and his son, Truett, for bringing us some dinner on Friday. So that was very nice of them. Sick? No, it was great. And it was so much of it that it was like three full dinners for us. So definitely a blessing. But yeah, we're cruising here. And I shouldn't say we're cruising. We are, it's a roller coaster of newborn life, but very fun. And yeah, life's good. Weather is good, which I appreciate. And yeah, a lot of stuff happening in the Bulldog athletic calendar. A bit of a dip here, at least for baseball, which is really the first time we're reporting that this whole season.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. We're going to get into all of that. We got lots planned for you today. We're going to talk about the baseball team and what the heck is going on. We're going to talk softball, water polo, and some things happened in the basketball world as well. So we will talk about that. And then, of course, we got to talk about football because something's happened in the football world. As I see down below on the ticker, definitely it's the trans portal now instead of the transfer portal. Let me fix that. So we're going to talk about the transfer portal and what's going on there, and as well as the basketball transfer portal. We'll get that right eventually. Caleb, I don't think we've told anybody here. I did tell you guys, but you guys just had a baby, and then last week we started telling people that we're going to introduce number two into the world soon. So we're Bulldogs just popping out babies, man. We're going.
That's right. Getting more interns in here.
Yeah, we need them. Yes. I would love a producer sitting on right over there, and we could flip cameras and, you know, we could do all the fun stuff.
Someone to run our Instagram for us, because no one does our Instagram.
I checked briefly about 6 a.m. this morning, and then that was it. So nice. Sorry if you said anything between 6 a.m. and now. I didn't get it. Sorry. But you can find us on Instagram, Beware of Bulldogs Podcast. We do most of the things on X. I will see it. Beware_Bulldogs on X. And we are live on there. You can watch the show on there. Mondays, 7 p.m. A little late tonight. I couldn't find my computer. That's on me. I'll take that. And then we have YouTube as well. Beware of Bulldogs on YouTube. Subscribe, hit the bell, thumbs up if you feel like it. And the thing that helps us out the most, well, subscribe on YouTube, but comment. So comment down below. I see Bulldogs Bob in the chat. If you're in the live chat, let us know you're here. We'd love to see you. And if you are listening to it Tuesday, later on in the week, hop on next Monday. We'd love to see you here. All right, Caleb. We're going to spend some time in the baseball world, so I want to run through the shorter stuff first instead of just running through it at the end. So quickly, I want to talk about water polo. Water polo on Saturday, senior day, they beat Santa Clara 23-4, crushed them.
Yes.
They finished the regular season 18-7 overall, 6-1 in the Golden Coast Conference. So that one loss was to LMU. LMU finished 7-0 in the Golden Coast Conference. And so they released the bracket for the Golden Coast Conference Women's Championships. We have the 2 seed, and we are going to play the 7 seed, which happens to be Santa Clara. So I'm hoping for another blowout. We'll then play the winner. Reminder, one game at a time, but I expect us to win. We then play the winner of Pacific, Azusa Pacific. Our only loss was to LMU. We wouldn't see them until the championship game. Hopefully the girls can turn up for this tournament because, I mean, there's not too many teams, right, that in the water polo world, and we're ranked number 9 in the country. So, and I don't know exactly how water polo works when it comes to postseason selection, but I don't like to think about being an at-large team. Let's just win it, get in. Then we don't have to worry about anything. So if we win it, we get into the national postseason tournament automatically. If not, I assume we'd be in at-large as number 9 in the country, but I don't know how all that works. 9 different goal scorers on Saturday against Santa Clara. I think it's going to be a good time checking. Oh, it's being hosted in Santa Clara as well, so we get the home team right away.
Nice. Get him out of there quick.
Yeah. Yep. Get out of there. Softball over the weekend played UNLV at home. I think there was Bark in the Park on Saturday. And on Saturday, we played great. We won 7-0. We took 2 out of the 3 against UNLV. First game, we lost 1-2. Second game, we win 7-0. Third game, we win 6-1. Our pitcher, Taylor, I think that's her name. Gosh, you talk about her all the time. And I don't talk about her enough,
Taylor,
I guess.
Taylor Gilmore.
Yeah, Taylor Gilmore. See, I knew. She won Pitcher of the Week, softball Mountain West Pitcher of the Week. She went 7 innings on Sunday with 6 strikeouts. I know Sarah got the 7-0 win on Saturday. So softball is playing well. And we just got to figure out how to beat San Diego State. That's the only thing. We can do that. But next for softball is going to be Colorado State this weekend, the 26th, 27th, 28th. So 27th is the spring preview, which we're going to get to. It's the softball game is going to be going on as well. The softball game starts at 2 p.m. So if you can make the spring preview and the softball game, please do that because the baseball team is not going to be in town. They're away. So 27th, 2 p.m. against Colorado State. But they also play Friday at 6. So Colorado State is coming to town next weekend. All right, Caleb, let's talk to before we get to that, let's check on the Red Wave. Gilbert asks, any word on an AD? Excuse me. It's that time of the season, I guess. Missed it by a couple months, but it's hitting me now. Any word on AD? Not that I know of. Ongoing search as of right now. All speculation. Caleb, have you heard anything?
I have not. With the men's basketball coach vacancy being filled, I don't really know what the huge urgency would be. I think President Sandoval is going to take his time and make sure he gets an individual in there who can help fundraise and really be engaged and keep the vision for Elevate going. I'm assuming that campaign is going to continue, but that'll be something interesting to watch and see if, whoever is in charge or whoever's hired, if they come up with their own new vision and tagline for, whatever fundraising campaign that comes up. So that'll be interesting to watch. But I would think that it's probably still going to take a while, especially with the, academic year still rounding out. Maybe it's not till closer to the summer that an actual hire is announced.
I agree. I think it'll be close to that time. Did Bob says he got his tickets for the preview, and he thinks it'd be great one day. I agree. I'm with Bob. 10,000 people at the preview. Did you see the photo of DeBoer's Washington preview compared to the Alabama preview? Did you see that photo?
No.
Oh, it's pretty funny. And it just tells you, it's all regional. Alabama is, Washington likes their football, but Alabama's on another level. Washington had hardly anybody there. Alabama was packed. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, so last year, I think you and I were both at the preview, and there was maybe a couple thousand people there, right? I mean, there was definitely take your pick about where you're going to sit. This week should be much better weather, right? I mean, it should be in the low to mid 70s. So I think weather shouldn't be a reason to keep people away, because I remember last year was hot.
Yeah, I wore a long sleeve with the baseball jersey over my long sleeve for the baseball game after. huge mistake. It was awful. I'm hearing there may be chances of rain this weekend. Someone told me that. I didn't check the weather report. So my sources could be off there. But also, safest job in the world to be a weatherman. So say whatever you want. USC preview was pathetic this past weekend. I did not see the photos. This is the first time I'm hearing this. I didn't see photos or anything like that. It is kind of shocking, but at the same time, you know, I guess you would say they haven't performed well to earn those people showing up to the preview. I don't keep up enough with USC. I dislike them, to say the least.
Yeah, I think that spring games are the biggest deal in the South, like you alluded to earlier. So most other schools, it's the diehards that really want to check in on the team. And the funny thing, too, is, you know, we don't even know if this is going to be, you know, all the key contributors when we actually get around to August, September, October, because, you know, the portal's still open for another, 8 or 9 days. So a lot could happen between now and, you know, obviously when the season kicks off.
If you play spring ball with the team, you should not be able to transfer. I'm going to stick to that.
But if you're looking at it from the academic perspective, the student needs to finish the semester to be able to get the credits to be able to transfer and enroll in the new school. So I think I would argue that's not really relevant. I think that they have to be there if we're going to still enforce them to go to school.
Yep. It is. You're right. Irrelevant. But also, Caleb, the term student athlete doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It is athlete that just happens to be at a place where you're getting a degree. Mm-hmm. I don't know. All right. And soon it's going to be employee.
Yeah.
Rather, it'll be employee athlete. All right. We'll talk. We're going to get to football in a sec. We'll talk baseball. But last thing Bob adds, there's an opening for Fresno State fans to be known as the most passionate fan base in the state, which would help us grow and get into bigger conferences. And I would add attract recruits, coaches. I agree. I saw something today on Twitter that they said passionate or largest or crazy fan bases in the West. And Fresno State was on there. I think it was top 10. Which I would agree with when we're winning. But you got to put an asterisk next to us during those losing seasons. But it's hard to support a team when losing. But we've been great the past couple of years. And I agree with you, Bob. We need to take advantage of that right now.
Absolutely. I think Fresno State's in the best position. The Southern California schools, I don't think they care enough. I mean, San Diego State has a brand new stadium, and yeah, it was, you know, still half full the whole time, and it was smaller than Qualcomm. So, you know, I'm not really concerned about the passion of Southern California fans. I mean, Cal, Stanford, San Jose, I just don't see them rounding up enough fans to really be consistently passionate. So it's Fresno State right here in the middle that really has the opportunity to, to cement themselves or the school and the fandom in general as, you know, a top tier environment for fans and for opposing teams too. So yeah, good point, Bob.
And one thing I'll add that I have seen over the past 2 years is, now this is just social media, but engagement on social media with Fresno State fans, there is way more of it than most other California fan bases. USC may have bandwagon people all over the country. I don't count them. But even then, Fresno State engagement, I mean, I just look at like our profile and what we do. We have a lot of engagement because we have a lot of passionate fans, and I love it. And that's why I think our community is the best community around. Small, we get to know each other. I'd say very passionate. And even when, you know, I say small, but we're pretty big, but it's like a small, small town environment, I guess you could say. All right. Let's talk baseball, Caleb. We'll get there eventually. Here we go. Baseball. We need to have a conversation about this, Caleb. Baseball got swept by San Jose State. I know you've been busy with the baby. I got to go to the Saturday game, which was a wild game. Like I said, we got swept, so we ended up losing. But this team now, after that, those three losses on a five-game losing streak, is there any reason to worry right now?
Not yet. I think this is good as a wake-up call for the team. I'm sure the coaching staff is harping on it and saying, look, you know, pitching staff, or, you know, starters specifically, you know, you guys need to get your act together and put the team in a position where, you know, we can be competitive. And hitters, you got to pick up the pitchers and put some runs across to stay in the game. So I'm sure they're hearing it, but you know, the season's a grind. You know, they're coming off, you know, traveling to what they're most recently in New Mexico and then in Southern California for a midweek game. So, you know, not to create excuses, but it's, you know, they're in the heart of the season grind where they're traveling and, you know, the game is hot and cold to, you know, individual guys. So yeah, it's a tough position. I don't see this continuing, and hopefully Jack Anchor's coming back here soon. I think that would be a big presence to get back into the starting lineup, because it's the starting pitching was shaky this week. I mean, Friday night, Jake Dixon only recording one out before getting pulled. I mean, he was pretty wild, gave up 2 3-run home runs in that first inning, and you know, short leash, Overland got him out of there. So after that, the pitching was incredible. I mean, amazing bullpen performance of, you know, giving up 0 runs in 8 2/3 innings. So credit to Jacob Acosta for coming in and really bridging the gap there just to get it to the later innings. And Caleb Anderson, great name, and Zach Satzer, 2 innings to close it out too. So I mean, if we're taking away a positive on the weekend, I think it has to be the bullpen Friday that, you know, they kept the dogs in the game. And, you know, the only offense they were able to muster up was a Tyler Davis grand slam, you know, which is fun. Grand slams are awesome. But when that's the only offense on the day, it just leaves a lot to be desired with the rest of the offense. And so, yeah, very, very, very difficult game on Friday. So I'll let you talk about what you saw on Saturday.
Oh, I was driving to your house to drop off dinner during that first part of the game. And I opened the door, and the first thing Caleb says to me is, were you listening to the game? No. And by the way, it was on. I walk into the house. Caleb has the game on and the baby's sitting there and mom is there. 2 home runs. You didn't miss much. No. All right. That's good. yeah. Saturday, beautiful day at the ballpark. They honored Bob Bennett. A lot of alumni were there. It was a good time and decent crowd. And even there was an even bigger crowd Sunday, to my knowledge, a sellout to be exact. Good crowd. We went up early. We were up 4-1. And then the next inning, they score 3 runs, tie it up. Then we went up 7-4. And then seventh inning came around. They score 2 runs. Eighth inning comes around. They score 2 more runs. And then ninth inning, they blew it open with 4 runs, and they won 12-7. But Rocco Pepi had a huge game. This kid is so fun to watch. Even though I'm going to be positive here, he had 2 bombs, and he pimped both of them, and he ticked off San Jose State. And we sat actually behind the first base dugout, which is the visiting team. And wrong move. Bad choice, Dad, because a lot of four-letter words were being yelled that my one-year-old could hear. Luckily, he hasn't repeated any. But they do not like us. San Jose State hates us. One, it's a rivalry. 2, we're in first place. 3, we haven't lost a series. and they wanted it bad. Their pitchers are dropping F-bombs left and right. Every time they are smoking the ball. I mean, they hit plenty of home runs as well. Four-letter word coming into the, you know, F these guys. F these effers. That's actually what they said every single time. I actually would encourage them to read a dictionary and expand their vocabulary. I need to do the same, but this didn't sound very, they didn't sound very educated. Anyways, we lost. It didn't go well. It was a fun time though at the park. Pitching. This is what I want to get to. Pitching was rough, dude. Mm. I mean, it's just so inconsistent. Noah Beal started. He went four innings, gave up four earned, had seven strikeouts. Then he walked three. He had a total of 95 pitches. It's just not consistent. Bullpen, Bryce Armstrong came in. He struggled. He went 2 2/3, gave up two earned, one strikeout. And then Victor Arreola came in, and he was just kind of all over the place. He wasn't picking his spots, and the second he left one up there, gone. He pitched two innings, gave up six hits, three earned, three strikeouts. He got credited with the loss, and that's his first loss of the season. And he threw 57 pitches. So, you know, you talk about bullpen being the highlight on Friday. I mean, really, in general, pitching was just not our highlight at all. It was very poor on Saturday when hitting was keeping us in the game. And, Rocco Pepi had two. Tommy had one. But they had three homers that game. I believe in one, I think, was a three-run bomb. Exciting game, though. You definitely got your money's worth if you paid to get in there. Sunday, we lose 9-2. And so Jake Riding has been our Sunday starter. He went five innings, gave up three hits, four earned, had six strikeouts, walked two, threw a total of 86 pitches. And then you had Statzer come in, Cremarosa, and Hopfe. But you know, Hoppy came in and gave us one inning, but it wasn't the Tommy that we were used to seeing. I mean, he gave up four earned and two strikeouts. So, I mean, Saturday and Sunday, man, pitching was rough. And I think that, I should have pulled it up. I remember Al commented, I put it on X for people to comment what they thought, you know, what's going on in the baseball world. And I remember Al said, pitching. Well, I agree with Al. That is that's definitely the case. And then, hold on, it's loading. Yeah, Al Scott, pitching needs to be better, 100%. And David said, we're still in first, so he's not worried.
Very true. But, yeah, the Dogs are definitely fortunate that they started off really hot, that getting swept at this point, and they're still, I think, 3.5 games up on the second place team, which is Air Force, a dangerous team that the Dogs still have to go to Colorado to play. So, the Dogs are in an okay position, but there's going to be a lot of importance at that final series against Air Force. So, yeah, really disappointing. But I think we could kind of trace the hitting problems back to approach again. I think we mentioned this in the last game from last weekend that, the Dogs are just tired and, just a lot of maybe not as good of at bats and just a lot of flyouts too. So whereas San Jose State's, their flyouts were leaving the yard. They were getting all of it. So definitely tough. But if you can consider it a break, the Dogs have five non-conference games in a row now. So hopefully they can kind of use it for tune-up. So the Dogs are heading to Pullman, Washington this weekend, which well, uncharacteristic non-conference road trip, but we'll see what happens against future conference opponent, because Washington State added to the Mountain West for baseball starting next season.
Let's get to you guys. James says back to the he's talking about previews, our conversation about previews and the West Coast and California teams. Fresno State is all the Valley has. SoCal and Bay Area have all these professional teams. They got so much going on over there. Fresno State's all we have. It's the Valley's team. So that's a good point. Bob adds, only good thing this weekend was the attendance. I agree. And it's very typical, I would say, of Fresno State to sell out their crowd and then lose. It's a bummer.
Reminds us of football last couple of times against Boise at home.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say it, but yeah. And then he adds, we hate San Jose. I think this past weekend has made the younger generation of Bulldog fans hate Hoser. That's what Bob calls them. They won the baseball title on our field last year. Their football team derailed our season.
Also true.
And now this. So yeah, Caleb, you and I have talked about, and people have asked us about our kids and are we raising them to hate certain teams, and we will be doing that. We're trying to instill in them the positives. I just got my son to say go Dogs and Bulldogs. So we're one step at a time. And by the way, next time I'll pull out my phone and videotape this. His favorite song, Caleb, right now, Who Let the Dogs Out?
Let's go. A classic.
Yeah. So he's always trying to get Google to play Who Let the Dogs Out. He can't say it well enough for anyone to understand what he's saying, but we know what he's saying. But don't worry. The hate is coming. We will instill our kids with the correct hate and the correct amount of hate as well. For San Jose State, my kids will hate Oregon. Otherwise, they will have to go live elsewhere. So, and San Diego State, it's all love. You know, our buddies at Sons of Montezuma, love those guys. But the second the game starts, can't stand them. It's the worst. So, and I expect them to say the same about us.
Oh, sure.
That's how rivalries work.
Yeah, that's all part of the fun of being a fan.
Yep. San Jose State, baseball, they can hit the ball, man. That's the last thing I'll say there. We got to figure – I'm not worried right now. Just to answer the question I asked you a couple minutes back, I'm not worried. Anchor should be back this weekend. If he's not back this weekend, that's fine. I'm honestly curious to see when they throw him in. Are they going to rest him some more because we don't have conference games? Are they going to limit his pitch count? I'm curious to see what Ovi does with him and get him ready for Mountain West tournament. So for that reason, I'm not worried. Our bats are usually lights out. There's always one game over the weekend where we don't show up at the plate, but I'm not worried about it right now. We're fine. The way Rocco and Eddie are playing, I mean, those two have to be some of the hottest batters in the country right now. They're insane. Also, I should say, Ben Newton had some great plays Saturday at short. And we just didn't get him out, but some great diving stops. He's making good plays. The second he gets him out at first, it's going to change ball games. Don't forget Boise and USC. Got to hate them. Done. Easy. They will. There's not too many teams that they won't hate. Let's just put it that way. All right. Anything else in the baseball world? I guess we need to talk about who they have next. Well, you brought it up. We're good there. Anything else in the baseball world?
Well, tomorrow night or tonight, depending on when you're listening to this, Tuesday, April 23rd, home non-conference against Cal State Northridge. So be good to get a non-con on the week that the Dogs don't have to travel for. So that'll be good. And then, at Washington State in Pullman. And then the following Tuesday, another home non-conference against Cal Poly. So opportunity to tune up because the Dogs need it to get things right for the last couple series of the year. So after that, there's three more conference series. So very important for the Dogs to figure out the pitching. I mean, UNLV coming to town, I'm not that concerned with that. But at the same time, San Jose State came in with a record of like 14-26 or something, 14-23 when they started the weekend on Friday. So at this point, we really can't underestimate any opponent in the conference because the Dogs are in first place. They have a target on their back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some news coming out of the transfer portal, Caleb, for football. We had, to my knowledge, two players enter the transfer portal. I think the one name that people will recognize is defensive end Kamari Mounier-Bailey. Mm-hmm. He announced he's in the transfer portal. And then wide receiver Jaycion Doss. I don't believe he did play. He didn't play much last year.
And I don't know if we mentioned last week, too. Backup punter Landon Ogles also entered. I don't know if that was in between recordings. But, yep, those were the three guys that I'm aware of.
And the other thing we didn't mention, I remember, is we did land a commit, a preferred walk-on kicker, who I went and watched his highlights and I looked at his stats. The kid can kick, man. I believe he kicked a 61-yarder in high school, field goal. Wow. And right. He was also a punter. So, you know, there may be a reason why Ogle entered the transfer portal. This young kid can boot the ball. Last episode, Caleb, I asked you if we should be worried about anyone entering the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. I will say, to be honest, I did not see Mounier-Bailey entering the transfer portal. So this came as a little bit of a shock to me because just of who it is. And I thought he got plenty of playing time last year. So this is the last person I thought would enter the transfer portal. But Corey Foreman, I'm sure, added to this decision. What's your thought on Mounier-Bailey entering the transfer portal?
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised. Thinking back to last season, like after the announcement came out, I do remember seeing maybe some disagreements on the sideline with coaching staff and them getting pulled, and maybe a disappointed attitude, we'll say, on the sideline from Bailey. So not totally surprised, but disappointing because he seems like he's one of those guys with some raw talent that if he stayed in the program for another year, maybe he turned into something, especially working under Jethro on the defensive line, just because Bailey has a motor, he's quick, and just with improving his technique, you got to think he might have a chance to be special. But this is how it goes. So if the writing was on the wall, and hopefully that means that Foreman is maybe all he's cracked up to be, which would be good because Fresno State needs a dominant presence on the edge. And so maybe we can take this as a positive as, hey, Foreman or someone else is stepping up and is going to be, that go-to guy on the edge to create pressure.
We're going to see Saturday. And from what I hear, he is that dude, from what I'm hearing in practice. So, Doss, we didn't actually, when we had this conversation earlier, we didn't talk about the wide receiver room, but that wide receiver room is full of very good wide receivers. So it doesn't surprise me one bit that a wide receiver has entered the transfer portal.
And especially with, like, if you're keeping track of the players that are being offered by Fresno State in the portal, a lot of wide receivers that are being offered by Coach McCann. So maybe that is, frustrating to some. I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, maybe they're just trying to strike, find another Nico or Mejio who, I don't know if maybe, besides Jake Haner, because I know that he was a transfer portal addition technically, kind of like Portal 1.0. I mean, is Nico the best portal pickup that we've had in the last 3 years of, the portal era? So, I mean, maybe they're just trying to find another electric guy or someone to fill in and, return kicks and return punts. I don't know. But besides that, it seems like there's a lot of guys coming back between Josiah Freeman, Mac Delana, and Jalen Moss, and a bunch of other guys that, are still buried under the depth chart. So it is surprising that there's so many offers going to wide receivers.
Yeah, I thought that same thing. I saw the offers. I can't believe we keep offering all these wide receivers. Maybe they're two-way guys. But no, I shouldn't say that because they always say, had a conversation with Coach McCann, excited to say this is my third Division One offer. You know, So my assumption is wide receiver. We will see. Continuing on the transfer portal talk, Fresno State basketball got their first commit under Coach Vance Wahlberg out of the transfer portal. Alex Crawford. Crawford is a JUCO guy. I believe I brought him up last time. Last time we talked, he was on a visit here. San Diego City College. He's 6'8", 215. I look him up. Alex Crawford. The dude's a freak athlete. He jumps out of the gym, windmill dunk, long, 6'8", 215. He's the type of player that we're going to start seeing in the Fresno State gym because this is the style that he wants to play. Long, lanky, athletic. And we're talking to some Fresno State basketball fans earlier, and, you know, one of the things that a lot of people are missing are shooting. Don't worry. We're going to have shooters too. We're actually going to practice shooting. Wahlberg teams practice shooting. I do know that. But anyways, Alex Crawford, some quick stats. This past season, he averaged 15.5 points a game, 6 rebounds a game. He shot 43% from the three-point line. I'll take that. And he was named to the All-State team last year. He's got 2 years of eligibility. So I think that's a good get for Fresno State. Plenty more to come. You know, we keep hearing about this NIL money that the basketball program got because Wahlberg was selected the coach. When does that come into play? We know, who are we going to grab with that? So I know there's plenty left. So I think it's going to come into play soon, to say the least. Also, Xavier Ducell is not coming back, Caleb. He has committed to Nevada, his third Mountain West team. I can't blame the guy. I mean, Nevada's a good team. It's a good team. Great coach.
Pulled Jamal Baker and wanted to get to a higher profile Mountain West school, I guess, which I wish him well. I don't think he shot as well as we thought he would here. So maybe the new gym and a new coach will help with that. So besides that, I mean, the only other pursuit of a recruit that we've seen kind of talked about more widely is the kid transfer from Long Beach State. I think AJ George is his name, so he looks pretty promising too. But from Hoover. But and with all these guys, there's competition with other schools and who's got more money. And so we'll see. But I do think it is going to be a slower process for Coach Wahlberg, and we're not going to get everyone to commit in the next week. It's going to be constant thing, maybe even through the summer, to keep adding guys to this roster. So the addition of Crawford, I think it's a good piece, and like you said, good length and can shoot. I think that's exactly what this team needs to start building.
I've noticed there's been a huge push for Cole Anderson, huge push, and I understand why. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen, Caleb. I hope so, but I don't know if it's going to happen. They are not saying a word on anyone that they're really pursuing. I don't. I see Sam Droid in here. Softball pitchers. I can always rely on Sam Droid 559 to let me know what's going on with softball pitching. we went 2-1 this week. Pretty good. all right. Anything else in the basketball world, Caleb, that we need to touch on?
I think you just about covered it. Coaching staff is just hitting the recruiting trail now, and hopefully they can figure out who's actually coming back from last year's team and then know how many scholarships they have to work with going forward.
A lot of talk about Yap coming back. I mentioned it last time, and then I mentioned it early, agreeing with you guys in the chat. One of you guys in there was saying it, but I had to take a step back and realize I haven't seen it yet from him, and I still haven't. But what I did see from Yap is decision coming soon. He did say that. So saw that. Haven't seen or heard anything from Leo either. We'll see. We'll see what happens. This could be a brand new team. complete new team. Draft is this week. Where do you think Johnson, Bob's talking about Carlton Johnson, will go? And who will be undrafted free agent? I heard the Chargers like Brooks. I heard that as well. I heard they're giving him workouts and things like that. Caleb, go ahead. You can take this one.
For Carlton, I hope he gets picked by, I don't know, fifth or sixth round. I think that would be really good for him. I think if he could draft at all, I mean, that's huge and life-changing and hopefully puts him in a good spot to compete in training camp. So I have no idea. I'm certainly not a prognosticator, and nor do I watch the mocks. So I'm probably not the best person to ask for that.
I think Carlton goes day three for sure. And I hope he does. You know, he's got a baby. I love to see him, you know, be a dad, be able to take care of the family, be a provider. I think that being drafted and performing well helps a lot of Fresno State players and DBs. And there's Bob right on time. I think Bland's success will help Carlton get drafted. Brooks, I would be surprised if Brooks gets drafted. To be honest, I thought he dropped a little too many balls. You know, we'll talk about NFL level, like dropped a little too many, but good route runner, quick. He does have decent hands. And if you're looking for a slot guy, and by the way, the Chargers need like 20 wide receivers because they're all 50 years old. You know, this is a good pick. I would take Brooks on my team. So I'm curious to see if Lavelle Bailey, he's not going to be drafted. I don't think Lavelle will be drafted, but I'm curious to see how quickly Lavelle gets signed and where he goes. You know, we have, I believe, two guys with the Commanders right now, Akinbulu and
Did Kyle Michael Walker sign with them?
Michael Walker, yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Walker. So, you know, there's Fresno State guys everywhere, and they know that this program and this coaching staff develops NFL talent. So I think a lot of our guys get signed. I'm also curious. I think Scott Bemis on Bulldog Insider did a little piece on Comstock, and Comstock's shooting for it, man. He's going for undrafted free agency. I know, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. He's one of Caleb's favorites. So I don't know. He's got to work on his speed for sure. I think that, move him to linebacker, right? I don't know if he's big enough to play linebacker, but speed wise, I don't know if he can keep up in the NFL. Would love to see him I would love to see him get signed though and get a workout. So I don't know, Caleb.
I mean, I did see that Lavelle was, I guess, working out with the Niners or something. So I would like to see him stay in California. That would be cool. But yeah, other than that, I don't really have a ton of input on the NFL stuff. I'm more locked in on our current team.
I did see Ronnie signed a contract with the Rams. Mm-hmm. So he's still there. And Comstock is the definition of a dog. We should all root for him. Totally agree. That dude is Bulldog born, Bulldog bred. Yes. You know, he is the type of player that I want on my team. Was told to switch positions, could have easily transferred, didn't, stayed, worked hard, and contributed last year and the year before. So big fan of Comstock. And hopefully, best wishes to him in his endeavor for the NFL. Caleb, you have a pick for the NHL playoffs and NBA playoffs. Who's winning?
Basketball, I couldn't even tell you who is in the playoffs. on TV yesterday, I did see that the Islanders are playing the Carolina Hurricanes. So I know for sure I could pick those. I'm going to go with Carolina Hurricanes.
It's not a bad pick. Okay. It's not a bad pick.
All right.
I mean, I think that, you know, I know a lot of our listeners are Knights, Golden Knights fans. I'm going to, but for basketball, I think the Nuggets. I think Jokic. Jokic.
Okay.
The J is a Y in okay. that world. I got you. Jokic and Bob Sherin for Paul George to get a ring for the Clippers.
Okay.
Good start, by the way, with James Harden going crazy. I'm not an NBA fan until playoffs, Caleb. So I can't stand the NBA until playoffs.
Wait, in hockey, are the Winnipeg Jets in it?
Yes, they are.
Okay, that's my grandpa's favorite team, so I'm switching. I'm picking the Jets.
Perfect. I think I'm going to go with I'm taking cop out. The winner of the Maple Leafs Boston Bruins series, I will take as the winner. So, all right, there's our picks. We'll see how off we are there. Caleb, thank you. Red Wave, thank you for all your support. We appreciate it. Tune in next Monday, 7 p.m. ish. If we're not at 7 p.m., we're like 2 minutes late, but we'll be there. Click the notification bell so you get the notification when we go live. We appreciate all your support. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Jesus loves you guys. And go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.